Time now for the Baseball Insider. I'm Bill Newell here with Andy Carboni. And Andy, it's on to World Series game number 6. They're moving on to Cleveland on Tuesday night.
Well, it's a happy day on this Monday as baseball continues into November. Game 6, as you said, being played at Progressive Field in Cleveland on Tuesday night. Indians just one game away from their first World Championship since 1948. They have two cracks at it. Or will the Chicago Cubs come back from a 3-1 deficit, become the first team to win a World Series down 3-1, and end a curse that's 108 years? So it should be some good drama over the next possibly two games.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's pick up on some of the notes that you have for us, Andy. Of course, Terry Francona, former Red Sox skipper, I guess couldn't sleep the other night leading into Sunday's game.
Yeah, I guess all the euphoria and stress of the World Series, I guess, all rolled into one. Had a sleepless night for the former Red Sox manager. And so the way to fix that problem, he decided at 3:30 in the morning yesterday, Sunday morning, he ordered $44 worth of ice cream from room service. So I don't know how much ice cream that consists of with room service, because I don't know where they're staying, but that sounds like quite a pricey trip to the ice cream parlor, if you ask me.
Well, it might just be two scoops at a hotel, Andy. It may not be that much.
It could be. No question about it.
All right. Well, let's before we – I mean, there's plenty to talk about on the series, but a lot of folks are covering that. But let's cover the Red Sox here. The Red Sox have made an addition to their management, correct?
Well, they've made another little change. They have decided, Dave Dombrowski, that he's not going to fill the role of the general manager. Mike Hazen left the Red Sox about a week ago to become vice president and general manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks. So many people in the business felt that the Red Sox are going to hire someone in-house to take the role as GM. What they've decided to do is hire two people to be vice presidents and assistant general managers. They've hired Brian O'Halloran and then Eddie Romero the other day, for the two-man team, to take up that role, and they'll be reporting directly to Dave Dombrowski. So, many members of the Red Sox organization in the front office have been leaving after the season ended, and it just gives you a couple more situations of this happening. And, I don't know if it's more of Dombrowski kind of cleaning house, to kind of want to make the front office his own and mold it his way. We'll have to see how this all really plays out.
Now, with the Mike Hazen departure, that also could have some impacts on the Red Sox coaching staff, correct?
Absolutely. Bench coach Torey Lovullo, he is the front runner to get the Diamondbacks' open managing position, and reports are that Hazen's also going to interview former Red Sox bench coach DeMarlo Hale, who used to be the bench coach under Terry Francona, and then former Pawtucket Red Sox manager Gary DeSarcino has local roots in New England and is a possible successor to the Diamondbacks' manager opening as well.
This is also the time when the postseason awards start coming out for Major League Baseball, and I understand that there are some Red Sox, in line for Gold Gloves. Is that possible?
Yes, there are. Three candidates. It'll be announced next Tuesday, November 8th, with three Red Sox players are finalists for 2016 Gold Glove Awards, and they're Mookie Betts, Jackie Bradley Jr., and Dustin Pedroia. I don't think there's any shock to any of those three names. They all played very well in the field this past year, so it'll be nice to see if a member of the Sox can take home some hardware.
Well, probably the biggest question for the Red Sox, and question with all caps, by the way, is since David Ortiz has not changed his mind, how do the Red Sox replace him?
Well, it's going to be interesting. They can stay within house and have a platoon situation. You can have Hanley Ramirez DH, and you can have Pablo Sandoval DH, and you still have Travis Shaw in the mix. There's a bunch of different routes they could take in house. But, the Red Sox, I think, really need to go outside the organization and bring in another bat with some a little bit of clout behind it. And a couple people the Red Sox currently are linked to, potentially, first of which is Yoenis Cespedes, the outfielder for the Mets. He's a free agent. And he had a relationship with Dave Dombrowski in Detroit, but then Dombrowski did trade him get him from the Red Sox in the Rick Porcello trade. But reports are that, obviously, Cespedes did not enjoy his time in Boston. He's only here a short span of time. And the front office staff wasn't crazy about him, but most of that front office staff has kind of left the scene. So if Dombrowski wants to pony up some money, and with the free agent class being somewhat thin this year, Cespedes will carry quite a contract going forward. He's probably looking for at least a 4 to 5 year contract, well over $100 million. So I don't know if they're going to put that kind of money into replacing a DH. Obviously, Cespedes can still play the outfield. You can still move people around. And the other bat that the Red Sox are linked to is Jose Bautista of the Blue Jays, another free agent. this one probably makes a little more sense for the Red Sox. Won't have to be as long of a contract. You'll probably get him for 2 or 3 years because he's up at 36 years old, I think, now. And he has experience playing for John Farrell. He was his manager in Toronto, as well as Brian Butterfield was his third base coach for a time in Toronto. And Bautista's always done well hitting at Fenway Park. So that could be the leader in the clubhouse to replace David Ortiz.
Gotcha. Also, some other you always bring some interesting stats with us, too, Andy. And this one doesn't totally surprise me, that only 15 pitchers threw 200 innings or more in 2016, meaning that there are less and less workhorses, so to speak, in Major League Baseball. And that's the lowest in history?
Yep, that's the lowest total in Major League Baseball history. Prior to that, it was 1952, and there was, I think it was 24 pitchers only threw 200 innings. But it just shows you with the bullpens and what they are, and pitchers not going deep into games. I mean, you look in the World Series, the starting pitchers basically going five innings, and the bullpens are coming in. So it's changing of the guard when it comes to pitching staffs in Major League Baseball. And you just don't have the guys throwing the 200 and back in the day, 300 innings of the season. Imagine if anyone threw 300 innings of the season nowadays. That would be absolutely crazy.
Gotcha. Wow. Now, close us out here with a few other notes from baseball through the years here.
Well, I have one other note which I found was interesting, obviously dealing with the World Series currently. There's only one pitcher in Major League Baseball history that has thrown the last pitch to both win and lose a World Series game. And that pitcher was Ralph Terry of the New York Yankees back in 1960 in Game 7. Terry was on in relief, and he gave up the walk-off home run to Bill Mazeroski and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then he came back 2 years later in 1962, Game 7. He was the starting pitcher. Pitched a complete game shutout, 1-0 win over the San Francisco Giants, and that game definitely had some drama at the end out in San Francisco. The Giants had runners on second and third with two outs, and Terry got Hall of Famer Willie McCovey to line up the second base to end the game and bring home another World Series championship to the Bronx.
Well, as a kid, I remember watching Willie McCovey on TV. Oh, man, in a way, he kind of reminds me of Ortiz in a way with his left-handed bat strength and so on. You know, Ortiz is a little unique and a little special, I suppose, but McCovey could whale that baseball.
Absolutely. He's one of the greatest left-handed hitters, power hitters of all time, and definitely the ball jumped off his bat, and fortunately for the Yankees, it went right into Bobby Richardson's glove that day.
Gotcha. All right, Andy, good talking with you, and we'll be back again soon, I guess, because there's more baseball and certainly always something to talk about. Andy Carbone, our baseball insider with us here on MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell.